Father, thank you for the sound. Father, thank you for the sound, Lord. Thank you for the sound that rises up in our heart, rises up in our spirit, Father. Thank you for the sound, Father, that's overtaking us. Thank you for the sound that goes in front of us, Father. Thank you for the sound, Father, that's already announcing your name, Father. Thank you for the sound, Father, that goes forth into the heavens, Father. Thank you for the sound that shakes the earth, Father. And thank you, Lord, that as we participate with you, Father, we're participating with the sound and the effect of that sound in this earth, Father. So, Lord, we just celebrate these things and we just shift it over into your kingdom, Father. We thank you, Father, for the kingdom of God to be made manifest, Father, here and abroad, Father, by the sound. Hallelujah. 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 Just go with me to Isaiah. I want to tag back into where we were last week because Isaiah 30. Hallelujah. I hope that you're ready this morning. I hope that you're ready. Because I feel a fire in my heart and I have some things to say that might be a little hard. But I want you to know you better be ready. Because if you'll receive it, there's breakthrough on the other side of it. If you'll receive it, it'll allow things to shift in your life because it brings the power of God alive for you. Hallelujah. So I know shields go up, but you know what? It's time for shields to go down too, okay? Hallelujah. Just tell that defensive network that's trying to come up, just like, you gotta go. Just tell it, you gotta go. Say it with me. You gotta go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No more defensive network. Hallelujah. So in Isaiah 30, let's just read out of verse 15. Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel has said, in repentance and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. In quietness and trust is your strength. He's given a group of people who were sitting here in Jerusalem and in Judah an encouragement to stay the course, to talk and trust in God. Because if we'll trust in God, then we'll be able to see what it can be revealed out of the strength of God. But see, this is the people that they've already, in this point in time, Israel has already been carried off. See, when he's speaking here, he says, the very next word is, says, but you were not willing. In other words, you wouldn't have any of it. You wouldn't sit and just let and trust me. You wouldn't be still because they went trotting off. They went after Egypt. They went back to their bondage, back to their oppression. Their trust was in the things of the past. Their trust was in the oppression rather than in the things of God. So then rather than trusting God, they went back to the place that they'd come out of. And I'd like to say, well, you know, that's just Israel, and you know, that's just Judah. But unfortunately, it's us. If I just blame it on them, and I don't receive it for me, I'm missing the point. Because there have been times in my life it was a whole lot easier just to go back to the old thing than to continue on in the new thing. But see, when we continue on in a new thing, there's a breakthrough that comes with. There's a power and authority that comes with. Why? Because we're aligning ourselves with the will of God. We're aligning ourselves with the purpose. And so he says, in repentance and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. Imagine this. Go over with me to verse 18. Remember, he's talking to a people who would not respond, did not want to respond to his heart for them. But he says this, therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who long for him. How blessed are those who will come alongside, who will seek him out, who will desire that which he has for their life. And he's saying, if you'll just heed my word, if you'll heed my prophet, if you'll heed my Holy Spirit, if you'll begin to come in alignment with these things, then I can begin to release my best upon you. I can release my grace upon you. I can release my compassion upon you. Mercy will flow where you just turn your heart to him. So he's reaching out to a people who are obstinately trying to just go the other way. And in a few moments, I'm going to speak about Hezekiah, because see, Hezekiah comes on the scene about this time. He becomes king in Judah. And because he becomes king in Judah, he begins to set aside the idols. He had them tear down the Asherah, and he had them tear down all the other idols that were set up in the high places. Why? Because he wanted to, for his kingdom to worship God. One man in his heart. One man in his heart. See, one man in his heart, that's the nature of intercession. One person in your heart. It's interesting, this week, I've had three situations that have come to my attention, three situations that were all basically alike in so many ways. And in those situations, most of the time, it was about really changing the way we intercede. Changing the way we engage. Because see, what was happening in some of the situations was that there was something that had been done. There was something that had been perpetrated. But the person who was coming to me wanted to reach out. But see, what happens is so oftentimes when we're looking and we're involved in something, when we get intricately involved and wrapped up, entangled, we start praying for them out of our pain. We're praying for them out of our need. We want to change them, not because it's good for them, but we want to change them because it's good for me. If I can make my wife just see. She always sees. Hallelujah. If I can make my son just understand. If I can make my husband just be there. Hey. Because why? Because it's good for me. And after all, it's all about me, right? What's my point? Come on, boy. Well, tell me what the point is. You just tell me what I've been doing. Don't tell me. Well, tell me what the point is. Hallelujah. Because see, when we're praying and we're praying for someone else, you know, reality is even when someone comes to me for a sozo, and if they don't receive it, and I try to force it, I'm in the same situation. Why? Because the only reason for me to force it is because I somehow feel incomplete if they didn't get what I thought they should get. Their healing is not up to me. Their healing is between them and God. And so I got to be okay whether they're doing it or not. See, what I pray is not about whether or not I'm okay. What I pray is about what they are needing. I can give him an opportunity. With my son, I could give him an opportunity. And there was days I gave him opportunity and opportunity and opportunity. As long as I kept it about his opportunity, it didn't have to affect me. It doesn't have to change me. Because the reality was, whether somebody responds to my prayer or not, it really shouldn't change me. Because why? It didn't change the Spirit of God in me. The Spirit of God is the same good. It's the same Jesus before the event and after the event. It's the same Jesus that's in me. And so all I have to do is go recenter myself in the Jesus in me. I'm not saying that it always feels great if you pray for something and you don't see it when they're all up in your face. Okay? I'm not saying that when they're all up in your face, it don't feel pleasant. But you know what? If I can look at the situation and go, that's not about me. If I can look at the situation and go, you know what? That circumstance really isn't about me. It may be feeling real personal right now, but it's not about me. It allows me to step into a place of intercession with authority. Because God's going to honor your heart when you get outside of yourself. He's going to honor your heart when you start stepping into to His kingdom. When you pray from the perspective of kingdom for this individual. When you pray from the perspective of kingdom for this situation. When your situation is no longer just about you. When you're praying out of the perspective of kingdom, now it can release some new authority. Because you came in alignment. It's a place of alignment that we're seeking. It's a place of alignment. And sometimes that means that we need to go to the throne of grace just to release some grace on ourselves so that we can be in that place where we're supposed to be. And then we go, don't just stop when you get yourself aligned. Start praying for them to get themselves aligned. Hallelujah. When our prayer changes from what's good for me to what's good for them, it changes everything. I once prayed for 2 years for a change in the situation. And as I prayed for that situation to change, I prayed it for 2 years. But the reality is, at the core of it, I was praying for that change because it affected me. Because it was about me. Because I needed that to change because it was making me feel bad. But when I got serious with God, I got serious with His kingdom. I said, Lord, change me. If that's what's in the way here, change me. If that's in the way here, change me. See, what I began to do then was change to pray unbeknownst to me about the real issue in this little thing. And when I changed that, the whole thing changed in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. The whole thing's changed. 2 years and 2 weeks. Tell me, which one was effective? God can change things in an instant. This week, one of the prayers is we began to dissect the situation. And there was some hurts and some disappointments. And I said, well, you got to first, let's get rid of that hurt and disappointment because you're praying for them out of the disappointment. You're praying for them out of a place of hurt because rightfully you were hurt in that situation, but we can't stay there. Because as our prayer is going to be hindered by that thing that we haven't released. And so what we did is we just began to understand that. And as he began to understand that, he began to step into a recognition of how to pray. Because as he stepped into to pray for out of their need. Guess what? Less than 2 hours, the person calls. Less than 2 hours, the person calls. Why? Because now the kingdom has come into play. Now the kingdom is already in force. The kingdom is beginning to respond because there's a heart that's willing. Amazing thing. You know, sometimes in the marriage, it's hard. Sometimes in the marriage, it's hard to pray for the other person out of the place of their need. I'm not looking at anybody, I promise you. If I'm going to look anywhere, it's going to have to be little Andres' little mirror. I'm going to have to get him a nicer mirror because, hallelujah, a bigger mirror because why? We need a big reflection of ourselves. But sometimes it can be difficult to reach out to somebody when you're daily, it's in your face. But you know what? When we pray out of the heart of God, it gives Him the opportunity, number one, to shift your place. Because our heart has to be in alignment with the kingdom first. We can't truly intercede until we let go and get unentangled in our soul from this thing, whatever it might be. When we get unentangled, that's what we were talking about last week. While Pastor LaRue was talking about was being all tangled up in the thing that you were supposed to be praying for. When you're all tangled up in the thing you're supposed to be praying for, there's no power, there's no authority, there's no position. Our position has to be to ascend in God first. Our position has to be to allow that thing, whatever it is, to be let loose of so that we can get on top of it, so we can pray from a place of authority, so we can pray from a place of a position that's already been elevated. And as we do, then the throne room of God, what does it say? As in heaven, as in earth, as it is in heaven. We ascend into the heaven. We ascend into a throne room experience. We ascend into an authority that comes out of heaven. When we do that, it releases power. When we do that, it gets us away from trying to do it and fix it in our own strength. It gets us away from trying to fix it out of our own soulishness. Especially for those type A personalities. Especially for those who want to control and do those kind of things. It's especially important for those people like us to lift it up and let Jesus deal with it. Hallelujah. Because the more we get involved, the more we mess it up. Why? Because people can see our control, but they don't see our love. Because I'm over here, I want to adjust it. I want to make it better. And if I can adjust it and make it better, it feels good for me. It makes me feel safe because I adjusted it. But unfortunately, whatever I did to adjust it in my strength and in my humanity almost always is going to backfire on me. It's going to be undone because I did it in the wrong way. So all I did was a temporary victory, a cheap victory, without actually changing the situation, because the Spirit of God wasn't released. It's the Spirit of God. We're not looking for a temporary victory. We're looking for the Spirit of God to be released. And you may have been victimized by somebody who has control, but you have to let it go. Let it go. Recognize God has, even in that, God has something He wants to engage you in. God has something for you, and He has something for the one who wants to have control. He has something for the one who's been controlled. He's got something for everybody. But we have to receive it. We have to look for it. We have to look and have an expectation for kingdom to operate in our life. Because when kingdom is operating in our life, something changes. I can't promise you it's going to be today. I can't promise you it's going to be 2 hours. I can't promise you it's going to be 2 weeks. But I can tell you it's going to change. Why? Because you're going to change. Hallelujah. We still haven't gotten even to the text. So, glory to God. He's wanting to get real close and real personal. I'm making it fun. But you know, there's not always a moment when the thing is right here in your face and it's chewing at you. It's not always fun. I understand that, but I can tell you that when it's even in your face and chewing at you, that's the time you have the most authority. That's the time you have the most authority. God is looking to do something. If we'll just turn our ear, this is an opportunity, not a problem. If we'll recognize the opportunity and take advantage of, Lord, I'm ready for it to be shifted. I'm ready for the atmosphere. I'm ready for you to shift my atmosphere so I can affect your atmosphere. Hallelujah. So, remember I told you Hezekiah came on the scene as king. Things weren't all rosy because, see, the king of Assyria was looking to carry Judah off. The king of Assyria came to Lachish. And as he came to Lachish, we can see in 2 Kings 18. Let me just give you the scripture. 2 Kings 18, verse 15. We can see that King Hezekiah basically repented from not serving the king of Assyria. Because before that, he'd been in rebellion. So now, I ain't serving that king. I ain't letting it happen. Then we see in this verse, he says, I made a mistake. Why? Because he was about to get overrun by this huge army that didn't devouring the countryside, didn't devouring all the other nations in its path. And so King Hezekiah turns first instead of turning to his God. And this is a godly man. But he did what most of us do. He turned first to his own strength. Remember the word, not by power, not by might, but by your spirit. Well, he didn't remember that word. So if you'll remember that word, not by power, not by might. In other words, not by my control. Not by the things I can bring to bear on it out of my flesh, but by your spirit. And so what he did was then he sent all the silver in his treasury and some gold on top of it. So he basically robbed his own temple to feed the monster that was coming to him. Guess what? The monster devoured all that, but it still kept coming. There's nothing honorable when in the enemy, okay? So quit trying to buy him off. If you're trying to buy him off, there's nothing honorable in him. When you try to buy him off, he's just going to devour whatever you give him, and then he's going to spit it out and come for you anyway. When you see the enemy attacking someone in your life, when you see him attacking you in your life, don't back up. Step forward. Because there ain't nothing for you backing up. So he tries to buy him off with the silver, but then see this Assyrian king, Sennacherib, turn to Isaiah 37. Sennacherib. He begins to taunt the king of Judah. He begins to taunt the people of Judah. He sends messengers to proclaim at the gate and the wall of the city the destruction that was coming upon them. And he writes this letter, and he takes this letter, and in this letter he writes a renouncement of the God of Israel and the God of Judah, saying, there is nothing different between this God and the God of all the other nations I've already crushed. See, Hezekiah recognizes that now the enemy has gone too far. And so he takes this letter, verse 14 of Isaiah 37. And Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messenger and read it. And he went up to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And he prayed to the Lord. When he spread it out before the Lord, he prayed to the Lord. And as he prayed to the Lord, what he basically said was, Lord, this is no longer about me. This is about your kingdom. This is about you. He's defacing you. He's taking and he's looking and he's casting you down. He's taking you like any other God, and you're not any other God. It's time for you to stand up in this situation. He was bold. You know, sometimes you have to be bold and you have to stand what God has put in you. You stand and recognize what God is in you. And when you recognize the God that's in you, now you can recognize what's not in the other situation. But we don't speak to tear up the other situation. We speak to bring life to it. So we see that he began to hold this letter up. And as he held it up, he got an answer. Verse 33. Therefore says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come to this city or shoot an arrow there. Neither shall he come up with a shield nor throw up a mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same he shall return. He shall not come to the city, declares the Lord. That's a pretty bold statement considering this king had been wiping out everything in front of him. He carried off Israel already. He carried off everybody else in the countryside around him already. But he's not even come to throw an arrow in your direction. See, King Hezekiah recognized that I've already tried the silver and the gold. I've already tried to do what I could to buy off the enemy. I've already tried to make appeasement, but that didn't work. It's time for me to stand in trust and quietness and to recognize the hand of my God over this situation. So we see a response. Verse 36, and then the angel of the Lord went out. How many of you already read this while I was talking? The angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians when the men rose early in the morning. Behold, all they were dead. And guess what? In his response, they also said that he would, this king would be killed by the sword. And he went back to his land, back to Assyria, went into the temple of his God, and his sons killed him in the temple. Everything that the Lord laid out happened because he chose to trust in God, because he chose to look out for kingdom first. It was no longer about his survival. It was no longer about just him, but it was about what was going to happen for the kingdom. When you begin to respond to those around us out of what was good for the kingdom, out of what is good for them, out of what is, makes transformational for them, then God can do unusual and powerful things on your behalf. I promise you, in the last couple weeks, he's just been there multiple times. I've just been praying over a situation. I just pray over a situation. And then I get a text. And then I get a phone call. And the situation's resolved. And it didn't have anything to do with me doing anything but just releasing the Spirit of God on their behalf. When I chose to love them and just release the Spirit of God. Sometimes when you love, when there is no reason to love, that's all it takes to break the chain. Sometimes when you love, when there, that's not even a chain in our bodies, but there's something else that's not even concerning you. When you choose to love on them and choose to bring them up and ask, Lord, let's do what's best in their life. You want to know where to start? Go with me to Colossians 1. I'll give you a place to start. We do have communion here, so take advantage of communion this morning. As you take advantage of communion, know that God is going to strengthen your heart. Hallelujah. Oh. So here's a prayer that you can use to start if you don't know where to start when you're praying for somebody, just to pray for them out of the Spirit of God. Pray for them out of the purpose of God for their life, so that they can see and receive, so that their heart can be made full, so that love can begin to dawn in their heart, so that love can begin to be seen and made manifest over their life. Verse 9 says, we've not ceased to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Lord, I just release your will and understanding over them, Lord, so that they may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please you in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Lord, that they would be strengthened with all power according to your glorious might for the attaining of steadfastness and patience and joyously giving thanks. That they would joyously giving thanks to this Father who's qualified them for the inheritance. See, when we begin to release a prayer like that over somebody, now you're releasing the purpose of God into their life. You're releasing a change over their heart. You're calling them up to where God has called them to be. Call them up where God has for them to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, all those defensive shields are down. We get to embrace what God is doing. See, it takes some maturity. It takes some maturity to respond to a word like this. Because, see, we can hear it, but do we heed it? Do we do it? Do we respond and do we allow it to happen? Why? Because generally, when it starts happening in your life, it doesn't feel comfortable. But know that that can be the moment that changes everything. That could be the moment that revives what was lost. Something that might be even looking dead is going to be coming alive. Why? Because you're releasing the power of God over it. You're releasing His authority over it. We're stepping out of the way. Remember, we've been talking all this time about making room. Well, guess what? This is one of the ways we make room. Because that's the way God can move in our life. He can only move where we make room. So it doesn't matter what you're facing. He's looking. Will your heart be completely mine? Remember what he said? Blessed are those who long for me. Blessed are those who long for me. When we long for him, everything changes. When we long for him, well, I'm no longer doing it out of my need, out of my hurt, out of my pain. I'm doing it because it's something the kingdom wants to release. And when there's something the kingdom wants to release, the kingdom authority comes with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know how many places you're going to hear a word like that. Probably not many. But you know what? If we'll all embrace it in 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we can be a changed congregation. We can be a changed congregation. Because there's no longer any need for friction in the house. Why? Because we're all busy loving on each other, not in front of each other. It's not just because I'm right here and I'm standing here and I'm shaking this man's hand. No, I'm loving on him in the heaven where it matters. And when I'm busy being kingdom, when I'm loving on him from a kingdom standpoint, then goodness and grace is released. Compassion is released. Because God has something for you. And we can only get to it if we get through the other person. That means we have to let him go and bring him up into the place. Bring him up into the temple. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. I love you in spite of what it might sound like today. In spite of the fact that you might have been the one I was talking about with control issues. It doesn't matter. I had to talk about myself first, so glory to God.